Welcome in. I am the Big O, Jerry Ostrowski. He is John Fina. We are former
teammates. What's up, Big O?
Former offensive lineman. What's up, John? We're former offensive lineman at the Buffalo Bills. As you might have learned last week, if you were here following the show, possibly like Tracy, and our man Joe Miller is not on with us live, but he is in the comments, David Reed. If you followed with us last week, you learned that Vox Media basically waived all of us. And myself, John, and Joe, we have decided to come on over to Overreaction Buffalo and do this thing together. So we're excited to bring great Bills content to you this season over here on Overreaction Buffalo. And again, we're still trying to figure out the shows. Right now, we'll go live on Thursday. Probably Sunday and Monday, and when we figure it all out, we'll bring to you all those shows you enjoy, like Off Tackle with John Fina, also the post-game show Overreaction show with Joe. What do they look like? We don't know, but what today looks like is this. We're going to talk about the draft, folks. We're not going to get into players. We're not going to get into actually stats and physical players, talk about the combine. We're going to talk about needs of the Bills, and we're going to talk about top three needs of the Bills going into this draft. We're also going to talk about who might be that hidden gem, that future starter for the Bills that we didn't see that's buried in the roster, kind of like last year with Terrell, with Bernard. When Edmonds left, everybody panicked. Bernard stepped up, played at a great level, and now we've got a wonderful starter at middle linebacker with him. So I don't want to waste any time. We're trying to keep these shows short, trying to go, you know, 25, 30, 40 minutes at the most. John, why don't you tell the people where you are? Because you're confusing to me a little bit right now. Because if people are watching, John does have a Arizona Cardinals shirt on, but he does have a Bills hat on. John, why don't you tell the listeners what you're doing?
Hey, Joe, I'm up here in Chandler, Arizona. You can see the beautiful weather in the background. I said Joe, Jerry, sorry about that. It is tonight the National or NFL Players Association meeting. So old retired players broken down, come to talk about our prescriptions and our ailments and get together and have a few cocktails sponsored by I don't even know who yet. So I'm broadcasting here. The show, you said 30 minutes somewhere. We're going to go until my battery dies. They don't have power out here on the patio. So we're going to live it up. Worst time of the year, mock draft season, which I can't stand. I did a little bit of research on players in case we do dive into that. But frankly, I like this idea of what we're going to talk about today. What do we feel like are holes with the Bills that we need to go after in the draft, and who do we think on the roster can come up big for us?
So we're going to go top three. You know, we're offensive linemen. We tend to be the smartest group. By the way, I can't remember the number. It's like five or six former presidents of the United States were all collegiate offensive linemen. So they're you know, that holds water, folks. So we are the smarter group of anybody on the field. But John, I'm going to give it to you first. Top three needs. I'll give you my top three needs. We can talk about them, compare, contrast, and all those things. Looking at this draft coming up, looking at our roster, what do you think the top three areas are we need?
Well, if you can't hear everybody screaming receiver and you don't agree with it, at least in part, I think you're out of your mind. Obviously, Stephon Diggs' departure has left some question marks, right? So, rightly so, we pick up Curtis Samuel, Mac Hollins, but kind of guys that really aren't proven, right? But you still look at the roster itself, the wide receiver, and there's a need for depth. What does that mean? Do we mean depth as a wide receiver one, we move up, or, you know, two or three guys later in the rounds that we can turn into contributors? Hard to say. We'll dive deeper, or we can just dislodge all of it right now. And then I think it pains me to say it, but edge is a problem. And then after edge, I look at either linebacker or safety. And to me, that becomes a specific to who's available discussion. So where do you want to go from there, Jerry?
Well, I'm going to give you my three, but real quick, John brought up wide receiver. I'm going to bring up wide receivers as well. They're not my number one, amazingly enough, but April 22nd here on the show, 8 o'clock Eastern time, we'll have RJ Young on with us. He is a national college football correspondent for Fox, And we're going to talk 35, 40 minutes on nothing but the top wide receivers in the draft and scenarios with the Bills if they move up, if they move up a little bit or they stay put, maybe even move back. We'll talk about all the wide receivers available, and that'll be the Monday before the draft, April 22nd. My top three, I've got safety first, John. I'm really concerned about the safety room. This is a room that kept – they had four guys last year. We have Rapp coming back. You have to look at him, his experience. I like Taylor Rapp a lot. Growing up an Eagles fan, Andre Waters, Dawkins, Brian Dawkins, I like physical safeties that make wide receivers scared to catch the ball across the middle and that will come up in the run game and stick you. So I like Rapp. We pick up Mike Edwards from the Chiefs. I believe he's about a five-year guy or a four-year guy. Then we got Damar Hamlin as well. Those are the only three safeties we have on the roster. And that is a bit concerning. My second area of need would be wide receiver. I think it'd be crazy if I didn't mention that in the top two. I still think safety is more of a need right now than wideout. You talked about Mac Hollins coming from Atlanta. You talk about Curtis Samuel coming over from the Commanders. Eight-year guy, a multi-use guy. Now, remember, we still got Shorter as well. The draft pick last year that went directly to the IR. He was from Florida, played at Penn State before he transferred. Everybody thinks he has it, but he hasn't had the ability to show it consistently. But he's a guy that might be able to do it. And my third spot, I'm going to agree with you, not at the second spot. I kind of was going to go D-tackle. I'd like youth up the middle. I think winning football is up the middle. Your guards, your center, your interior guys on the defensive line, and your middle linebackers. I do think edge is probably something of need as well, getting a little bit of youth there. We got Epinesa, Groot. I still think Groot should have his hand on the ground and third down, being over a guard, but he can play D-end. I do think Von Miller will come back and play at a Von Miller-type level next season. I think you saw that the last three games of the season last year. I think he was starting to get used to or coming out of that funk from the ACL. I think Vaughn will do well also, but I do believe you probably need to get some youth up front, if not at D-tackle, because we did go out and sign a bunch of free agent D-tackles this offseason, two of them being Johnson and then Sean Williams. You know, we brought them on. So we do have a little bit of depth there. We were able to re-sign some guys, but I do think we need to get some youth at that spot. But I don't know. Are there any other positions maybe you could even argue to be in the top three, John? I mean, I don't even know if there are any.
I wouldn't. You can always say you want to draft an offensive lineman, but, you know, going down the rabbit hole a little bit, talking about our potential breakout players, you got a kid in Alec Anderson who's playing across the line, who's been on the practice squad and activated a couple times, who's spent 3 years, right? 3 years maturing and learning and practicing. That's training camp. That's one-on-one pass pro. That's working against the number ones, against defense. At some point, guys have to see the field, or what are they doing there? You know, so you could argue, you could talk a little bit about offensive line, but I don't really see it. I think we're in a good position across the offense, minus the wide receiver position. You know, but I think, Jerry, the deeper conversation that we have at this point is the availability of talent in the rounds as it meshes with where we have draft picks. That's kind of like that. Right. That's my concern, how that shakes down, right? So the 28th pick in the first round, by that time, I think the top three edge rushers are gone. And then you're looking at maybe if you do go edge, you got Chop Robinson from Penn State. You got Darius Robinson from Missouri. But then I think there's a significant drop-off before you get to maybe Braylon Trice or Chris Broswell. So, you know, it almost dictates that if you think, you know, at one Bills drive, the wide receiver is the biggest issue, then you can make an argument for a variety of guys that fall into that, you know, say 25 to 35 or 38 slot that you can validate and pick at 28.
Well, you know, I was going to do it for my third spot, and I got blasted on our show on Sunday by you, by the way. I think it was a little bit rude how you went after me on this one, but
that's how we roll, bro.
I would not have an issue if they picked a center in the second or third round. I really would not.
Well, we don't even have a third round pick as it stands right now.
Well, we don't. We got a couple of fourths. We got a couple of fifths. I think that's where you'll see some of the depth guys go. But if in the second round, or I would say maybe that fourth, fifth round range, you got a center sitting there you need, let's go take him. I think we need to get a young guy in here and start grooming him to get him back. I'm excited for the show on the 22nd with RJ because we're going to dive into a little bit of the scenarios, just what it would cost the Bills. And I don't even know if we have the weaponry to do it, to get up in a top 10 to maybe try to make a run at one of these Washington guys. Obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr., the cream of the crop, he's gone. I mean, there's some people saying that the top 7-8 picks are going to be nothing but wideouts and quarterbacks. So you have that whole aspect. If you go ahead and maybe move up like they did last year, a couple of spots when they did that to get Kincaid, what does that look like? Or do you just stay put and see who comes to you? Because I truly believe the first round talent at wide receiver is really, really deep. I actually think the first round talent for wide receiver will drain into the second round. So you could even stay put or make a trade to move up into the top of the second and get your, not only get your wide out, but also get your safety in that second round too. So, you know, the thing that the fans have to understand is when you're sitting there eating $31, $32 million of Stephon Diggs' contract this year and how we're sitting cap-wise, you only got so much money for draft picks. If you bump up and make that move up, now a bigger portion of your cap is being sucked up by that draft pick because of the guaranteed money. So there are
ramifications. And that's the point I was going to go after. And I don't see us moving up. I see us moving back, right?
Right.
Because of the amount of talent at wide receiver, if you peg that as a need and your guys are available and there's plenty of wide receiver talent available, if you can move back and pick up two more second-round picks or even a third, second and a third or a second, third and a fifth, something like that, I think then you can address multiple needs. You know, maybe not the edge, but probably two picks at wide receiver, maybe one at the O-line, linebacker. There's a lot of linebackers in the fourth and fifth rounds, I think, but not a lot of interior linebacker help early on. So I think if you're looking at, as you said, as a strategic cap type of move, then move back, pick up more picks, go deeper at wide receiver. But I think trying to move up and chase that wide receiver one is not the play.
Right. And if you miss, what does that do to your roster and your draft ability? It handcuffs you over the next so many years. Right. And I don't know if it was our show on Sunday, and if it was, I apologize, Joe, if you brought it up. But if you've looked at the Green Bay Packers, they've drafted a kajillion wideouts. They're all productive. They're all plug-and-play guys. And they're all third, fourth, fifth round picks. You can get good, viable wideout help later in the draft without mortgaging your future to try to move up because you want a quote unquote name. So, you know, I kind of agree with you. Maybe you do move back and acquire more picks. And especially with the way Bean has done some things this offseason, it's almost like I think this is going to be a draft for need. Knowing you don't have a ton of, and thanks, Joe, in the comments. It was Matt Perino on Tuesdays on the Beat Show. And if you didn't listen to that show, that'll be one you get every week on Tuesday
night.
That's
a good show.
It's a great show. Once again, I learned something watching it when Perino talking about Green Bay's wideouts. But if you look at what he's done this offseason, he goes and he signs, you know, Johnson. He goes and signs Deshaun Williams, the defensive tackles. He brings in Mike Edwards. He goes and gets a guy like Nicholas Morrow, who the Eagles didn't re-sign, which is kind of concerning. After having about 4 or 5 years, I believe, with the Raiders, he goes to the Eagles. He's there 1 year. He started 12 games this past season, a team that really needed linebacker help, and they didn't keep him around. But he is a seasoned guy that has experience. they got some vets to come in if they have to have depth. And they got guys to come in and give immediate playing time without having to take the time to develop them or get them ready, like Dorian Williams. I think Dorian Williams is going to be light years ahead this year.
Totally. Experience. 100% agree.
And he's in the program for over a year, right?
Right. I think the biggest hit to this roster, aside from Floyd, was Dodson. So, and the problem with what I have right now is looking at our edge issue, right? I just don't think that Groot and Epinesa are productive enough. They're not productive when we need it. I don't want fourth quarter sacks when we're up by 16 or 18. It just doesn't work for me. We need game breaking production out of these guys, and I just don't see it. So I think the allure of picking up an edge is going to be great, and I think also you're going to have just a horrendous reaction from Bills Mafia, right? Epinesa in the second, you've had Groot in the first, you have all this money dedicated to Von Miller with low production due to injury. So, I mean, of the three, who am I most excited about? Von Miller coming back after, you know, a tough comeback last year and getting dragged and his off the field issues. I mean, it's just not a fun place to be if the Bills go edge first, but the need to me is glaring. So whereas I'd like to see receiver, because I think it is an arms race. And I think the creativity of offenses now, the variety of formations and the way, you know, the rules favor the offense, that that's a smarter way to go. Maybe the Bills sit there, get the receiver they want, and figure out the rest of the roster afterward.
And, hey, if you're watching on Facebook, you're watching on Twitter, hop on over to YouTube. You can get in the comments. Graham Post is with us, David Lavin. Also, Triggs44, my man. Good to see him back. They're making comments over there. Be an integral part of the show. David Reed also joins in. But, you know, it's just like – it's kind of why I went safety first. When I looked at –
Okay, you know, let me – before you dive into it, can you hear the sirens in the background?
Yes, I can.
If you go safety first, are you telling me that you want to pick at 28 a safety, or do you want to trade, move back, and pick up a safety? Because as I look at the safeties available, I don't know that anybody really rings into the first round where we are. Maybe a couple guys are a little early, but what's your strategy?
Right, which am I saying pick a safety in the first round if the grade does not warrant him being taken in the first round, then you don't take him. I'm not a believer in these people that come out and say you don't take a running back in the first round. You don't take a safety in the first round. If they are, if their talent warrants them being picked in the first round, by all means, they should be picked in the first round. So I'm not that guy. If you have a safety sitting there that is warranted at that spot, then yes, you take them. But, you know, I look at that room, like I said earlier, you got Rapp, you got Mike Edwards, who hasn't been in our system. They signed him in the offseason. You got DeMar. Now, you could bring back Micah Hyde. That is an option. Okay, you could bring him back at a discounted price. You could bring him back, and maybe that's kind of what the Bills are doing. They're kind of slow playing it to see what happens with market value and those things. DeMar, he's had opportunities to play, and they haven't played him. Everything else aside, talking strictly business, I'm not sure that he's going to be on this football team next year. So really, when I look at it, you have one solid guy in Rapp, maybe in Edwards, and after that, who's it going to be? So,
you keep glossing over Cam Lewis, and unless I missed a memo, he's still on this roster.
I didn't. Is he gone? Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
All right. Fair enough.
He is a free agent. And he's I think he did sign elsewhere. He did sign elsewhere. I looked at the roster. I don't believe I saw him on the roster. If I'm wrong in the comments, please bring it up. But I think he's gone. By the way, you know who his agent is? It's Tommy DeVito's agent, your boy, the Italian. Cam was re-signed, so he is on the roster. Thank you very much.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Okay, so you do have Cam.
Yeah, I'm just not sure that that's the investment early for a guy that makes a big impact. I think there are the other needs step in front of that. Taylor Rapp, Mike Edwards, Cam Lewis. I don't disagree with you about DeMar. I think that you know, plausible deniability. I think the Bills have done right by him. There's truly doesn't appear to be a belief that he's an on-the-field player at this point and might cut ties.
Right. All right, real quick, we're moving into the show. We got about 10, 15 minutes left. We talked about it at the start. Last season, we lose Edmonds as free agency. We all knew that the Bills were not going to pay $15 to $17 million a year for him at a middle linebacker spot in a role that he really is not a downhill middle linebacker. And this is another show we can talk about that. But with that being said, Bernard shows up and plays at a high level when most felt he could not. Dotson fills in for Milano, plays at a high, high level when most felt he could not. The stories about both coming out of training camp were atrocious. And then both guys come out and play great football. One solidified as a leader of the defense. The other goes and signs a free agent deal and makes big money. Is there a guy on this roster that we have not looked at, that we have not talked about, that could be that surprise starter at one of the areas of need that we have coming up this season? I've got a couple guys that I think are definitely candidates. And I was curious to see if you had somebody as well.
Well, maybe I'm just whistling past the graveyard or in dire hope, right? But I want to believe that Kair Elam has a turnaround year, right? I think it's crazy to think about. My heart's with the kid. You know, you have a rough start and it continues and people start using the B word attached to your name for the rest of your life. And I root for him. I think he's a good kid. That's one of my breakout guys. I want to see him do well. And I think that he's got the skill set. Nicholas Morrow, not necessarily, you know, a young guy, but coming over from the Eagles, having looked at his stats, I think that he's a reliable, maybe backup, competes for the position. I'm pretty excited about that. But I think the real breakout opportunity is with Mac Hollins, right? So not a great season last year, but he was with Atlanta, Desmond Ridder, right? Before that, right, played pretty well in Las Vegas. So he fills a gap, but where this kind of brings me back to, why do I look at linebackers as my third draft spot? I want guys in the kicking game, the kicking teams, to be not receivers. I want guys that are kind of bloodthirsty, down the field guys that can cover, that can really push on people. And I think that is a hole in the roster. So I'm hoping that Nicholas Morrow becomes one of those guys. Baylen Specter does it. And we draft a few guys there, but by and large, I'm looking for Kair Elam to come around. We get good role playing from Austin Johnson and Casey Tuhill in addition.
You know, I was never more happy to hear a guy had, and this is sad, but I was never more happy to hear a guy had a lingering injury issue than I was with Elam last year. And why that wasn't divulged sooner, I have no idea. I think, you know, the fact they kind of kept that quiet, or actually the NFL actually investigated, if I remember correctly. But he did have the foot injury or ankle injury. That's supposed to be 100%, and he's good to go. I'm with you. I hope he has a great year. My guys, I got three guys on the roster that I look at as guys that could be potential stars. And the first guy is Dorian Williams. I watched Dorian Williams play at Tulane for a long, long time. They play in the same conference as Tulsa, where my son plays. Guys all over the field, runs free, makes plays, tackles, big plays. I think Dorian Williams has a chance to be a special player. Where does he fit? He's going to have to wait his turn. I mean, he's in a backup spot now. Milano's back and healthy. But as you know, it takes one play. And I think if you see him this season, he can be that guy you just talked about, John, that Tasmanian devil on teams. Maybe take a spot from another guy that's been kept around just for teams, and be a big-time contributor. Second guy is, and I have to look at him because just as folklore and what people say about him is physical ability, physical size, and that's Shorter at wideout from Florida. He was at Penn State before he went to Florida. Kind of was a, you know, didn't work out well in Penn State. I don't know if he was a malcontent or not, but he ends up in Florida. He's got all the skills. He's got the speed. He's got the size. He is a bit of a straight line guy, but he is a border or a boundary type wide receiver. I think he can have a tremendous year, especially if he puts a time in this offseason him and Josh are working together along with the other wide receivers. And the third guy that nobody has talked about that I think has a chance to be a good player, because a lot of people have been kind of quietly, you know, mumbling about him a little bit. And the fact of when we last year were making such a big deal out of, we've only got two tackles, where's our third tackle? Ryan Vandermeer, the second-year guy from Connecticut, big physical monster type of offensive tackle. He's a guy that can move people. I think he's really picked up on the Cromer system. I think he's got a chance if we happen to have an injury at one of those two spots, and they're solidified with keeping the recent Collins at not Collins. I keep calling him Collins. Lyle Collins, who we signed.
Lyle Collins, yep.
Who I think will take the role of left guard as they move the left guard to center. You know, I look at him as a guy that can step in and play well. So those are my three guys. I've got faith in Bean in his evaluation. I think he does a good job, especially this offseason with you kind of seeing the way he's picking off role player, veteran type guys. I think he's done a good job. So I expect to see stuff out of those three. So
let me address your Dorian Williams, because for two reasons. Number one, I didn't list him because I think he already had his breakout year. I think when he was on the field last year, he was impactful. I think he runs extraordinarily well. It was enough for me. So I don't see it. I don't see him as a breakout. But
right
to the point that I want to make, the larger point is you want to spoon feed guys, but I don't know that you have that luxury in this league anymore. So whomever they have on the roster and coming in as rookies, they have got to get into the crucible, and they got to get in early. And you got to trust guys. That's kind of my Alec Anderson comment. You know, you three right. years on the practice squad. It's time is now or you know, release these type of people and bring in a guy who's younger or a guy who's got more experience if you can match dollars for dollars.
And what's funny is we can speak on this because we both are ends of the spectrum. John picked in the first round. You played a little bit your first year, second year started, boom, you're gone. I come into the league, get released by the Chiefs, go to Atlanta, get released by Atlanta, get picked up by the Bills, and am there for the last Super Bowl in Atlanta. That offseason, preseason, whatever, fall camp, think I have a great camp. Get released again, but kept on the practice squad again, and I'm allowed to develop with Tom Bresnahan, the rest of the offensive linemen, and Rusty Jones. Next thing you know, I go into the Miami game in the second quarter, and I don't come out for 100 and some games. The luxury of that is not there anymore. It's the hiding guys, to develop guys for a couple of years on the practice squad seems to be a dying art. With the cap the way it is, the numbers and all those things, they need guys to be able to be on the roster and step up and play. With that said, and John, your biggest complaint has always been, and Joe as well, how we don't let our rookies go out and make mistakes and get them in the game soon enough. Does it not seem like with some of the pickups they've made in the offseason with vet help, it's almost like they're padding the bench with guys that have a little experience so they don't have to maybe rely on rookies in those types of situations?
Yeah. Well, you know, as well as I do, that's the strategy, right? I mean, it's clear, but also training camp isn't like what it used to be. Even when I played for the Bills, it wasn't as rough as Kansas City or the New York Giants, but you can still suffer injuries, you know, knock on wood, you can still have those other types of problems. So it's a good to have a blend of rookies and linebacker or older guys, vets. But I think rotationally, you got to get them ready sooner somehow, some way. And if for no other reason, looking at last season with the number of injuries we had, you got to get guys into the mix. Joe asked a question here. Are we concerned about undersized linebackers across the board, top three that we have right now? Thank you for the super chat, Joe. You can send me $100. I am not, because I think that Joe. Yeah, exactly. I think that instinct and speed replaces the power and fill that we used to see traditionally from linebackers playing between the tackles. That's just my take.
Time will tell, Joe, and I'm going to tell you why. The techniques that they're allowing smaller guys to use to tackle players are now becoming illegal. So you better be big and strong to grab dudes and pull them to the ground, because you can't wrap guys up and gator roll them. You can't grab anywhere near the neck. That's a penalty. You can't chop guys. That's a penalty. So unless you can grab physical cloth and hold on till the rest of your buddies show up or drag him to the ground, that could be an issue. So that's something down the road that we'll look at as the season happens, because that's something I think we'll talk about in a future show, just how these new rules for tackling are either helping and or hurting the league as a whole. Hey, we're 32 minutes in. We got a few minutes left. I want to end on this. Great discussion, okay, John. Really good stuff. I appreciate your willingness to come on with us while you're up outside of Fleming's getting ready to eat a big fat free steak dinner. I know that's such a that's such a stretch for you. But can I say one thing? Last night they released a deal. The NFL released a deal that said, "Hey, we're going to allow teams to have, I believe, 3 helmets now. Can we get a damn red helmet? Damn it. I just want a red helmet. Get me a red helmet. Damn it. That's all,
Jerry,
I want."
I don't really care about the helmets and the uniforms, as long as they don't have that garbage they forced Drew Bledsoe and the rest of the team to wear back in the day.
I want this helmet.
Look, I'm a color rush guy. I think away you should be all white. I think at home you should be all red or all blue. I think it's great. I think, you know, we're probably going to have two. We'll probably have 2 mid-season shows dealing with
John
all of
Peter
the.
Right there.
Yeah, that's right, buddy. I think during the season we could probably rack up 2 shows about the new tackling rules and everything like that. And to me, I'm over it. I think by putting rules in place like this, you're somehow pretending that guys don't know that playing football is a dangerous game. And there's just too many issues about how it's going to get called. It's a bad road for the NFL to go down. I don't like it. And I don't know. Hopefully it won't get called. It's too hard to tell. But beyond that, Jerry, what a great show. Thanks for giving your feedback on the draft, what the Bills should do. I hope you enjoyed mine. And for our listeners, I hope you loved it as well. Thank you for all the comments. Tracy, you know, Maggie and Daniel and David and everybody else. It was Chris in the comments, Joe Miller included. Thank you. I just love doing this and hanging out with you and Miller all the time, buddy.
Hey, and by the way, I'm laughing at Joe. Joe might be better in the comments. Joe might need to be our Ed McMahon and just sit in the comments and make comments the whole show. But anyway, I believe we'll be back on Sunday. This show will drop tomorrow as a pod. And I believe we'll be back Sunday. If that's not correct, Joe, please tell me in the chats, "Oh, Wizard of Oz behind the curtain." But again, before you get out of here, folks, you like it, hit the like button, subscribe button. We will be here all off season as we roll towards the draft in a couple weeks. We'll have some specials. And we'll get into some different things. And then as we get closer to the season, we will give you our final lineup of shows and what's going on. Hey, this is a situation we're put in. We're happy to be here. We're Overreaction Buffalo. He's John Fina. I'm the big O Jerry Ostrowski. As always, folks, thanks for spending time and listening. And we'll be back with more really good content soon. And as always, go Bills.
Go Bills.